Now on 882 6PR, this is Carl Langdon.
Well, you know, I love talking sport, and here's a chance for you to hear it from an expert. The best analyst in the game, and he works for us here at 882 6PR. I've rubbed shoulders with him for years in the commentary box, and I'm speaking about Brad Hardy, and he joins me. Hello, Barney.
G'day, Barry. Good to be with you.
Nice to talk to you, mate. Well, we've got a big game, and you've got your heart, I know, firmly in the Western Bulldogs camp because it is very near and dear to you. And there'll be a lot of people tuned in right now who have got their heart in the other camp, and that is firmly the West Coast Eagles. And I'll tell you what, mate, I like the five players that have come back into the Bulldog side.
Yeah, it looks a little desperate, but I don't think it's that desperate in the end, Barry, because of the fact that Stringer's coming back from playing in the reserves, so, you know, it's not as if he's been injured. Easton Woods only missed a couple of weeks. The big question marks clearly are going to be Liverskid and, of course, McRae. They've been out for a little while longer than that. So, you know, it just all depends how close to the mark they can be. But, look, all the key indicators suggest that the West Coast Eagles are in the box seat. I think they've re-established that five-goal home ground advantage that they had many years ago because of the way that they play so strongly at Domain. But I'm expecting the Bulldogs to acquit themselves pretty well, Barry, to be pretty.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? I used the example this morning. I spoke to Neil Mitchell prior to coming on air here at 6PR to do the afternoon program, Brad, and I used the Jonathan Giles example, is that it is amazing what opportunity brings.
Oh, for sure. You know, and if you don't pay anybody any respect, like they didn't, the Adelaide Crows paid no respect to Jonathan Giles last game, and he just took them apart. So, you know, I don't think the West Coast Eagles can just saunter up and believe that they're going to show up and win. You know, the Bulldogs are going to have a red-hot crack at it. They look a lot better settled with those five guys back into the lineup for one, and I'm a lot more confident about them putting out a good performance tonight as they did opposed to, say, even against Fremantle a couple of weeks ago when it was a little bit tricky.
For all of you that are tuned in, once I get Brad's tips, they'll be available on our 6PR website. They'll all be also be on our 6PR football Twitter page, so you can go there and have a listen back. Now, for Geelong and Hawthorn, mate, this is certainly attracting widespread attention. Can the Hawks make it four grand finals and maybe four premierships in a row? What are you thinking and how are you thinking this game's going to pan out?
Yeah, I'm very bullish about the Hawks. Look, we're you know that foul weather that you had last night?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get it here tonight and tomorrow. So, look, the Weather Bureau, there's no Jeff Newmans around, but there's certainly the Weather Bureaus are suspecting they could get half a month's rain tomorrow.
Wow.
You know, average. So, yeah, there's anywhere between about for 10 and 30 mils they're expecting, could be more. So I think that really tightens it up for Hawthorn, I think, because they've got a much smaller outfit, particularly up forward, as we know. And Geelong are very, very good, but they've still got a few unknown quantities going into this game. You know, guys like, you know, Caddy and co, they've got to do it on the big stage at the MCG against the reigning premiers. So I think there's a lot of value in Hawthorn tomorrow night, and I think they can scramble, and I think it might be a scramble, more goals in the wet than perhaps Geelong can.
Starts in the middle of the ground, though, and I think the benchmarks in that area, and two of them anyway, have been Joel Selwood and Patrick Dangerfield. Hawthorn are going to have to control those two in particular, Brad, because that'll go a long way towards winning the game.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think they'll assign personnel to each of those, and then they're going to really need a really good output from Mitchell. He might cop Scotty Selwood, you know what I mean? So it might be counteracting each other, and then whoever can, you know, as I say, force the ball forward enough. I'm worried about Tommy Hawkins, you know, taking a grab and kicking a goal if it's really slippery and wet. I'm not so worried about Puopolo, Rioli, Bruce, Gunston, Sicily to a lesser degree. You probably have a little worry about him. He's more of a mark kick player, but the rest of them, they love it on the ground, Barry, and they can manufacture their own end result there. So, yeah, it's going to be an absolute cracker. But if you are having an interest on that volatile portfolio known as the punt, take into consideration the weather.
Righto. Now, we'll get your tips at the end. We're just going through all the games, and then we'll nail them all in a row so that people don't have to go back and listen to the last 7 or 8 minutes of radio. Brad, I lost money on Geelong, as you know. I didn't think they'd make the top four. They did, so I've done my dough there. But I got it back on the GWS Giants. They finished in the four. I've been bullish all year on them. Are they any chance against the Sydney Swans at ANZ Stadium?
Oh, they're like the Bulldogs tonight. I mean, you've got to give them a chance because they're going to be out there, you know. And, you know, they're not afraid. We've heard about the type of character that plays for GWS. They, you know, they're a little cocky. They got plenty of, plenty of expectation about their own abilities and how they go about it. But I think the Swans probably get them, Borry. Neither of these two teams have played each other out there at ANZ at the Olympic Stadium. It's only across the road from where the home ground is for GWS, as you and I well know. But I'm thinking that probably Sydney get away with this. It might be just a little bit too soon for your boys there. So they'll get another crack at whoever loses between
Adelaide and North. Yeah,
win it. I think Adelaide will win that one. So I think they'll be hosting a final next week against the Crows.
We saw the strange decision by North Melbourne, and I think we saw Drew Petrie, Brad, you and I firsthand at Etihad Stadium have an out-of-body experience where he couldn't get near the footy. It just looked like the weight of the announcement where he and Brent Harvey and Michael Ferretto and Nick Del Santo were told that they didn't have a future, which is something that we hear they asked for. But now I'm reading today, you know, the Roos have upped the ante to keep Daniel Wells. Now, maybe Daniel Wells wants out on the back of what he's seen, but that's all going to play into the Crows and North Melbourne on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, Wells wanted a two-year deal, and I think North only wanted to give him one, so that's why they're probably happening. I can't work that out because he's almost a recruit because he spent a fair bit of time on the sideline, as we know. He still moves beautifully, and they can't throw him all out of the cot. And you're right about Petrie. You know, he was shocking. I'm not expecting any more out of him on the weekend, to be honest. I mean, I think with Rory Sloane coming back in for the Adelaide Crows, they got beat up by the Eagles in the inside footy last time, and I don't think that'll be happening again on Rory's watch. So that'll help them a lot better. And then they all fold back, and then they gush the ball forward, and they like a lot of space to work into that forward 30. You know, Eddie Betts, Josh Jenkins, even with his size, he loves to run onto the open goal, doesn't he? So, I'm anticipating that that North can't bring it on the weekend. I think Adelaide, this is probably the clearest, cuttest game of the weekend. And Zach Tui looks like he's going to go to the Kangaroos next year on a four-year deal as well from Carlton.
Wow. It's good if you can get it.
Exactly right. Well, you know, they've, as I say, they've put a bit out in the pasture, haven't they? But I don't know how many halfback flankers you can have in one team, but he's certainly going to fill the breach there. So watch out for that one in coming weeks.
And WA boy Tate Pears has decided to part ways with the Bombers, mate, and he's going to become a firefighter.
Yeah, no surprises there. I think he was just weighing up what vocation he was going to do, and quite clearly he didn't. He was starved of opportunities down there at the Bombers, and with all those guys re-signing, Hurley and co, you know, he's probably going to find himself, you know, again, just probably playing VFL football. And I quite liked him as a footballer. He never quite got an opportunity to show his best. And if he can fit into the fire department, mate, it's probably it's better off to be working for 30 years and knowing where your future is, as opposed to perhaps being in and out week in, week out, not sure what your future is.
Now, I've been listening to you in supports today, but for those at the middle of the day that may not have heard your opinion, are your thoughts on 16 aside?
Hate it.
There you go. We'll leave it at that. Now, give us your tips.
West Coast narrowly.
Yep.
I think the Dogs will be really good against them. I'm liking Hawthorn tomorrow night. I'm certainly thinking Adelaide are over the line, and I think the Swans will take care of the Giants.
So you're only is it an upset if Hawthorn beat Geelong or not?
Well, they're the outsider in the marketplace, so I guess they are. So yeah, that would be my best outsider. Clearly in the market, they are on the in the right colour for us. So I think Hawthorn are probably the best outsiders. And as I say, you know, like the Bulldogs will acquit themselves well tonight.
Thanks, Brad.
All the best, Borry. Cheers,
Brad Hardy.